This is from Undercurrents by Pamela Beeson. She didn't have time to fume. She stood up, smacking her hand against her forehead. Think, think, think. Summer, you idiot! Who thought this was going to be a grand vacation? Who else might be able to help you? Wyatt already knew. Her father was unreachable in Europe, and what the heck would he do anyway? Pray for her release? She might be able to contact one of her new sisters by marriage, Jane or Julie, but the thought of explaining her predicament was unbearable. And how could they possibly help? Finally, her mind zeroed in on one acquaintance who might have some clout. Adam Steele. Now a big deal news anchor in California. No doubt he had resources she couldn't even imagine. Did she dare? 2 seconds of staring at the jail cell bars answered that question. Thank God he had never changed his number. She punched it into the Skype on-screen keypad. Of course, she got his voicemail. Yep, this is the number you called. Tell me who you are and what you want, and I'll call you back if I want to. She checked her watch. 9:40 a.m. here, which meant it was only 6:40 a.m. in California. Surely Adam hadn't already taken off for work. Adam, she began. It's Sam. I really need your help. Hi, babe, Adam broke in. Do you have any idea what time it is?
Sorry, she laughed weakly. You'll never guess where I am, Adam.
Let me give it a shot. In jail, in Puerto Hora, Galapagos?
Great guess, she blew a nervous breath. How'd you know?
Since you never call me first, I've got a Google alert set for you.
Did you really kill that guy? I mean, I've known you to do some crazy shit. Look at that last stunt on stage with the knife and all. But this, well, this kinda takes the proverbial cake. Still, you should have called me.
Why had she expected him to be sympathetic?
First, I've been sort of busy, Adam. Second, no, I didn't kill anyone. How could you even think that? Dan Kazaki was my friend. I am being framed.
Interesting, he said. She could tell he was scribbling notes. Who's framing you?
She snorted. There are so many parties in this mix, you wouldn't believe it. Can you help?
Can you get me an interview with Zing?
She laughed bitterly. Get me out of here, and I'll get you an exclusive with both of us. You can interview the whole damn team. We'll tell you everything.
You're fading. Did you say exclusive?
Yes, Zing, exclusive, she shouted at the laptop. After you get me out of here.
Interesting, he said again. She heard a female voice in the background. Clearly, Adam was not sleeping alone.
Adam, can you help? Do you have any pull in Ecuador?
He didn't respond.
Adam!
Caliente! Yelled one of the men in the next cell. She was shouting, so no doubt that meant shut up. I'm thinking, babe. Nothing comes to mind right now. How come Mr. FBI isn't writing to your rescue?
An arrow straight to her heart. Hot tears welled up, blurring her vision. I can't find him. Something terrible had happened to Chase. She knew it. Otherwise, he would be helping.
You're not on his list.
The FBI won't tell me anything, she said through clenched teeth.
Damn it, she was not going to sob on the phone like a child.
You owe me, she wanted to wail. I really am in jail, she told him, her voice cracking a little. They're accusing me of murder.
I believe you.
Battery power was down to 40%. I have to go, Adam. I'm almost out of battery power. Please help me. She was prepared to grovel if she had to.
I'll follow the story. I'll do whatever I can. I'll promise the execs an exclusive with you and Zing. But no matter what happens, you're going to see me again. Believe it. Ciao. And then the computer reported the signal was lost.
I'll follow the story. No matter what happens.
The clunk of a key turning in the exterior door signaled that she was about to have visitors. She quickly shut down the laptop, slammed the lid closed, and shoved it back into its case. By the time McGuire and two middle-aged women appeared through the doorway, she was sitting on her bunk. The two women carried aluminum foil-wrapped plates. The trio entered the hallway, but then disappeared from Sam's sight as they moved to the cell next door. The scent of garlic and baked chicken wafted into her space. There was a clang of a door opening and shutting, and quiet conversation in Spanish. And then Aguirre and the two women walked back, empty-handed now. Aguirre didn't look at Sam, but the women glanced at her over their shoulders before vanishing out of sight. Sam waved at them and swallowed the saliva pooling in her mouth. When was her lunch coming? The answer turned out to be never. Around 1:30, she gave up hoping, pawed through her duffel until she found an energy bar she'd packed over a week ago in Bellingham. That was it. That was all the food she had. Maybe her imprisonment would be short, only however long it took to starve to death. At least, assuming that heaven actually existed, she'd get to see her mother and grandmother again. Dan. And maybe Chase. She gave in to self-pity and let the tears stream down her face. One of the geckos ran down the wall and across the edge of her bunk, stopping as it neared her leg. The little reptile opened its mouth and bounced its head in typical lizard threat fashion.
"You better be scared," she told it. "I might have to eat you."